Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew with a sneak peek at our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. The long-held interpretation that pollen beneath a Neanderthal burial at a rock Shinar cave reflects the deliberate placement of flowers now appears to be debunked. A big genetic study suggests that our direct human ancestors faced possible extinction about 900,000 years ago. A study in Southern California points to possibly human-set wildfires as a cause for the extinction of many large mammals near the end of the last ice age. And a surprise discovery of soldiers' remains at a Civil War battle site in Virginia opens a fresh window on the conditions faced by the combatants. Thanks to everyone for supporting a subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in 2024 with our fifth tour of incredible sites in Iran. Please join us. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of August 24th through September 2nd, 2023. We begin this week in Iraqi Kurdistan, where a new study involving bee pollen suggests an entirely different interpretation of the famous Neanderthal flower burial. Over half a century ago, researchers discovered the site of Shanidar, a rocky cave in the Zagros Mountains that held several Neanderthal burials. One of these, referred to as Shanidar 4, because clumps of pollen from flowering plants emerged from the soil beneath an adult male Neanderthal. This led researchers to believe the Neanderthal had been buried atop a bed of flowers. The burials at Shanidar, initially excavated in the 1950s and 1960s, were the first evidence that Neanderthals engaged in ritual depositing of dead bodies. A new study has re-examined the pollen evidence from Shanidar 4 and concluded that burrowing bees was a better explanation for the pollen than a Neanderthal funeral ritual. As reported by LiveScience.com, the original 1975 study determined that the pollen beneath the burial came from seven plant families, two known and two unidentified. Information on these plant families suggested that all of the plants producing the pollen were in bloom at the same time. This led to the conclusion that the pollen was from flowers that had been laid in the man's grave. The new soil study largely agrees with the identification of the plant species, but further research showed that the plants actually grow at different times of the year. This calls into question the previous interpretation of a bouquet buried in the grave. The researchers from Liverpool John Moores University, the University of Cambridge, and the University of London focused on the broader details of the original dig for a potential alternative explanation. The Shanidar excavators had noted a number of ancient mud-lined bee burrows close to the Shanidar 4 grave. These burrows were used by ground-nesting bees, which collect pollen and deposit it next to the eggs they lay so that when the eggs hatch into larvae, the pollen will be there to feed them. The new analysis suggests that the pollen occurs in mixed clumps that are not indicative of individual flowers being laid down, but rather the results of bees collecting the pollen and stashing it in clumps for their eggs. According to lead researcher Chris Hunt, a paleoecologist at Liverpool John Moores University in the UK, the pollen is likely ancient, perhaps even contemporaneous with the Neanderthal burial. However, neither the pollen nor the ancient remains of bees, which the original excavators also found, can be directly dated because bee exoskeletons are not easy to radiocarbon date. Also, the level at which Shanidar 4 was found is about 75,000 years old, and radiocarbon dating can reliably date organic items only up to 50,000 years old. The new research appears in the Journal of Archaeological Science. Our next story focuses on a new study from China, which suggests that nearly a million years ago, the world population of direct human ancestors dwindled to only about 1,300 in what is referred to as a population bottleneck. The hypothesis proposes that the ancestral human species stayed at this very low number for more than 100,000 years before it slowly increased again. According to LiveScience.com, this close call with extinction could have fueled the divergence between modern humans and their closest known extinct relatives, Neanderthals and Denisovans. The results come from a genetic modeling study by a team from the Chinese Academy of Sciences in Shanghai, China, and colleagues at Mount Sinai Research Hospital in New York City. The research aimed to learn more about modern humans' evolution by looking at modern genetic variations and modeling how these could have originated from the prehistoric genome pool. For this research, the scientists developed a new analytical tool and applied it to the genomes of more than 3,115 present-day modern humans, representing 10 African populations and 40 non-African ones. The results suggest that at one time, the size of the group making up the ancestors of modern humans was surprisingly small, almost too few to continue the species. The small gene pool is what is known as a population bottleneck, named after the funneled down shape. When any species is suddenly choked down to only a few reproducing individuals, the next thing researchers look for is a cause. Population bottlenecks also include a severe narrowing of genetic diversity, and this loss of diversity is what tipped the researchers off to examine the time period in question. According to co-lead author Wang Jiehu from the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York City, the genetic data suggests the population bottleneck occurred between 813,000 and 930,000 years ago. During this period of over 100,000 years, ancestral humans experienced such a severe population bottleneck that they lost about 98.7% of their breeding population. They faced a real risk of extinction. This population crash left the hominid population at approximately 1,280 people for about 117,000 years. Several natural phenomena during this time period might have triggered it, including severe cooling that caused glaciers to emerge and a drop in ocean surface temperatures, which both may have caused prolonged droughts in Africa and Eurasia. Human fossils and artifacts from this period are relatively sparse, possibly because the population was so low, so scientists still don't know exactly how this climate change might have affected humans and caused the population crash. One result of the bottleneck may have been a split in human lineages into two species, the Neanderthals and Denisovans in Eurasia, and our own ancestors still in Africa. Another major event of the time, deduced in previous research, is that about 900,000 to 740,000 years ago, two ancient chromosomes fused to form what is currently known as chromosome 2 in modern humans. Because this coincides in time with the population bottleneck, the authors of the new study also suggest that the near eradication of humans may have some link with this significant change in the human genome. The new research will cause debate and stimulate more work to examine the evidence. The results of the study are published in the journal Science. Our third story takes us to Southern California's La Brea Tar Pits. New research suggests that humans entering the area after the end of the Pleistocene may have set megafires so severe that they rendered the region uninhabitable for 1,000 years. As reported by LiveScience.com, these massive wildfires may have been a major contributor to the extinction of megafauna in the area. The La Brea Tar Pits, a paleontological research site in Los Angeles, has an extensive record of the large mammals that once inhabited the region. Carbon dating of these fossils was crucial for modeling the changing ecosystem in Southern California following the retreat of glaciers in North America during the late Pleistocene. In this research, a large team from the Natural History Museums of Los Angeles and U.S. and Italian universities focused on the radiocarbon evidence for eight of the most common mammals preserved in the tar pits. Seven of these species are now extinct: the ancient bison, American lions, dire wolves, Harlan's ground sloths, saber-toothed cats, western horses, and yesterday's camels. The eighth species, coyotes, are still very much alive. The team extracted the protein collagen from 172 preserved bones from 15,600 to 10,000 years ago and compared the frequency of these fossils over time with existing data from pollen deposits and the wildlife record. Pollen deposits indicate the diversity of plant life, taken from Lake Elsinore southeast of Los Angeles. The team documented the wildfire record by charcoal deposited in the region's sediment layers. Shifts in all three records correlated tightly to computer-modeled estimated increases in human settlement around 13,200 years ago. The overlap in pollen and charcoal shifts suggests that human activities may have triggered the fires. According to lead author F. Robin O'Keefe, a Marshall University in West Virginia biologist, it is unclear whether the fires were from campfires or set deliberately to drive game. The result, however, was a time of heavy burning that changed the ecosystem dramatically, possibly leading to the extinction of many megafauna species. Aside from coyotes, seven of the species analyzed vanished from the region by 12,900 years ago. The study suggests megafauna in the region died out at the end of the Pleistocene due to a confluence of factors. First, a warming climate and periods of drought left the region susceptible to fire. Second, people coming into the area and increasing in numbers set fires as well. The result is that Southern California transitioned from a moist woodland environment to a dry scrubland, creating more fuel for fires and increasing ecosystem shifts. We end this week in Virginia, where archaeologists have discovered graves containing skeletal remains of four Civil War soldiers and three amputated human legs. As reported in LiveScience.com, the excavation site is a 161-year-old battlefield that contains the powder magazine, a central storehouse where the Confederate Army kept its ammunition. This was also the site of the Battle of Williamsburg on May 5, 1862, which caused an estimated 3,800 total deaths and injuries. According to Jack Gary, director of archaeology for the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation, the goal of the fieldwork was to better understand the powder magazine and how it operated. They weren't expecting graves. The field crew found three separate graves. One was a small burial containing three amputated legs. Another was one for a lone individual, and the third grave housed three Confederate soldiers. The skeletons were so well preserved they could be documented in situ using 3D photogrammetry, a technique in which hundreds of photos are taken to create a 3D image. As might be expected from a battlefield site, the skeletons showed multiple injuries, including a Meunier ball lodged in a spine and shrapnel in a shoulder, possibly from an artillery shell. One pelvis had a musket ball over which the bone had started to regrow, showing that the soldier had been living with that injury yet continued to fight. One of the three amputated legs had a bullet embedded in the foot. Archaeologists also unearthed several artifacts from the graves, including a porcelain snuff bottle, a trouser buckle, a bone-handled toothbrush, and two $1 U.S. gold coins. These personal effects gave the archaeologists a sense of what the soldiers carried into battle and helped paint a picture of what life was like for them. The team is now reviewing old field hospital records in hopes of finding the names of the fallen soldiers. The bones are being studied at the Institute of Cultural Biology at the College of William and Mary in Virginia to gain additional information about the soldiers, such as their height and age when they died. Once the research is completed, the four soldiers will be reburied as respectfully as possible. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.